a patron of the arts and the environment. Mary Gladstone pays tribute to Tessa Tennant. WHO made a difference. Through their bleaching industry, the Tennants were arguably, in the old days, the richest family in Scotland. They collected the work of the finest artists of the day and had their portraits painted by them. Not so now. From simple beginnings as Esher farmers during the 18th century, their fortune soared to £1 billion, but, through self-indulgence and bad management, they gradually lost most of their money. However, Tessa, daughter-in-law of Colin Tennant, 3rd Baron Glencoe, 1926-2010, was made of sterner stuff. After her husband, Henry, confessed he was gay, leaving her and their son, Ewan, only to die 3 years later of AIDS, Tessa, Nee E. Davis, made attempts to influence the way we all treated our physical environment. She was in the vanguard of eco-investment when, 30 years ago, the idea of combining money-making with reconciling planetary limits was in its infancy. In 1988, she co-founded the UK's first green investment fund, the Merlin Ecology Fund, and became head of NPI, another fund concerned with the environment. Tessa's base was the Glen, near Inaliathan, Peebles, with husband, Bill Stempfli, an architect from New York. Together, they converted their Victorian baronial mansion, outbuildings, cottages and land into a money-making enterprise, hosting weddings, conferences and offering country weekends to visitors. Our picture, the Glen's restored clock tower, housing the clock tower gallery and studio. Tessa was a pioneer, States artist and one-time director of Edinburgh's 369 gallery, Andrew Brown, who rents a flat in the stables at the Glen and works from his studio there in a converted hayloft. She was a champion of the underdog. Not only did she achieve so much in ethical investment and business, but she also helped found and fund the Homet and Hope charity for AIDS sufferers and research into curing the disease. Aware of the family's interest in art, which had dried up through their lack of money, Tessa hoped to introduce contemporary works to the Glen. Interested in my efforts in promoting Scottish women artists, she wished to support those who had not received their fair share of attention, said Andrew Brown. They discussed the prospect of holding an exhibition in the house, but her husband preferred to convert the clock tower, then crammed with gardening equipment and tools, into a small gallery, and all three agreed. Last November, they kicked off with a show of landscapes by Sheila Mullen, whose base was near Lockerbie. Having already exhibited Sheila's work in the 369 gallery, Andrew knew that Tessa would be impressed. Like Joan Eardley before her, Sheila Mullen, now 78 years old, still paints in plein air, with an easel outside and in all weathers. If Eardley was a painter of the sea, explains Andrew, Sheila Mullen is of the forest and the woods. When Tessa saw hundreds of Mullen's vivid, expressionist paintings stored in rows in her Dumfriesshire farmsteading, painted over a period of 40 years, she was overwhelmed. The show opened last year on November 12 and closed on February 28. Through her initiative, Tessa reinstated the career of this distinguished, but forgotten artist, and this summer, August 19, 23, her paintings of more mythical subjects connected with the Border Ballads were exhibited at Naidpath Castle, near Peebles. A third show, this time of her religious paintings, is planned for October at St. Mary's Episcopal Cathedral in Palmerston Place, Edinburgh. Over the summer until October, the Clock Tower Gallery at the Glen is staging their second exhibition, this time by another female artist, 83-year-old Carol Gibbons, also once shown in Andrew's 369 gallery. For decades, Gibbons has turned out remarkable expressionist work, which has been bought by many galleries. Next year, the Clock Tower will exhibit Lil Nielsen, who died 20 years ago and was a close companion of Joan Eardley. Tessa appreciated Andrew's concern for the Scottish woman artist. In most galleries, only 10% of work shown is created by women. At the 369, at least 50% of paintings were done by women, he claimed. There is, however, A question mark over the clock tower's future. Bill Stampfli wants to fulfill Tessa's wish for the gallery to continue, and with Andrew's reputation for picking good, original artists, especially women, it should flourish. In 2012, Tessa was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Tragically, she lost her battle this year with the disease, and on July 7, she died, aged 59. With Andrew Brown, she built a strong platform for Scottish contemporary art, and Andrew hopes to maintain this legacy. In October at Summer Hall, Edinburgh, he is organising a show of work from his own collection and borrowed from galleries and private collectors to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the founding of 369 Gallery, with 50% of the paintings created by women. Jointly, Tessa and Andrew have made an inspired move towards reinstating once established but largely forgotten Scottish women artists. The Clock Tower Gallery is open by appointment only. Email info@glenhouse.com or call 07913025022. To reach the Glen, follow B709 out of Innalythen for approximately 2.5 miles. Turn right at signpost for Glen Estate. Address: Glen House, Glen Estate, Innalythen, Peeblesshire, EH446PX. Since 2013, the Montrose-based artist Kim Canal has been busy running wall projects in the Old Rope Works, a studio and gallery that supports her own work and that of other artists, with the aims of bringing engaging and thought-provoking contemporary art to the northeast of Scotland, working with both established artists and giving new graduates a platform to show their work in Scotland. Wall Project's home gallery was initially established in 2006, with Canal holding art exhibitions in her home before she moved into the Old Rope Works in 2013. The owners, who were friends, gave her the whole building to use. The larger space has allowed her to showcase big exhibitions by new and mid-career artists, and to host workshops, events and pop-up shows. Graduating from Duncan of Jordanstone College of Art, and completing a postgraduate Masters of Fine Art program in 2003, she exhibited her work and began freelancing as a design consultant, which took her to Russia, France, Italy, and New York. The catalyst for the Montrose project was her mother's death in 2003. "My beloved mother, who was always my biggest champion, passed away from cancer. It took me 3 years to get myself together, and during that time I was living in my mother's three-bedroomed flat in Montrose. I travelled to Paris and Florence, and it was there that I decided I wanted my own space to exhibit art and work with artists. In Paris I visited a friend who exhibited in her house, and I loved the informal and relaxed way people were enjoying the art and buying it. I knew Montrose had a real cultural past, but there was very little in terms of it in 2003. I began to strip back each of my mother's rooms and transform them into white spaces. It was very sad, but also a new beginning. I initially began having pop-up shows in a local framer's shop, to see if there was a market for art in Montrose and Angus. I had always gone around the degree shows and had a little black book with names of artists who I admired. I approached mostly new graduates, as I felt there were not enough contemporary spaces for artists to exhibit, and I wanted to give them a platform to show their work after graduating. And so Wall Project's home gallery began, showing work in my home. Sadly, after occupying the Old Rope Works for 5 years, she will not be renewing the lease. However, she will continue to hold exhibitions in her home. The list of events over the past 5 years has been incredible, and I'm proud to have done it on my own. The gallery was named one of the best hidden art gems in Scotland, so I was thrilled with that. Highlights have included showing the Masters show with graduates from the GSA, and the two satellite exhibitions with the Scottish Society of Artists, as well as many graduates who have developed and continue to work as artists. Also seeing people who have never really looked at art before engage with it and start collecting has been thrilling. I've never received any funding or grants from anybody. Considering I have tried to put Montrose on the map and bring trade to the town, I really thought I would have had more support from my local authority. It sums it all up for me, that I was visited only this year by council representatives, who knew nothing of me, after having been a self-funded arts hub in the area for the past 12 years. As for the future for independent galleries, there has been a huge shift in people's buying power. Sales declined when the oil industry took a nosedive, and all small businesses felt the ripple effect. Clients tend to go straight to the artist to buy work, which I understand, but it is to the detriment of the art gallery. Location is very important. I have managed to sustain a business for 12 years in Montrose, but the lack of footfall and the rise of online galleries have taken their toll. It is a tragedy, seeing independent galleries fold each year. The rise of galleries showing from their homes has risen since I began back in 2006, it's fewer overheads and more informal. There will always be independent galleries, it's just the setting that will change. And the future? It's time for me to move on. I have loved working in the old ropey, but I want new challenges. I won't be renewing the lease, and from November I will continue to use my home gallery in Montrose for exhibitions. I know people will be sad and disappointed that Wall Projects 2 is closing, but it's best to go out on a high, and I have wonderful memories and feel I have brought a bit of culture to Angus. As for the fate of the old rope works, now the building has been put on the map. Thanks to Canal, the current owners will be putting it up for rent. My last exhibition at the Old Rope Works will open on September 29th, and will be a mix of all the artists I have worked with over the years, a real celebration. I use a tagline a lot in my publicity. Life is better with art in IT, and it truly is. More from www.wallprojects.com. Francis Anderson.